the air a couple times a month. It's called People's Law Talk. Kevin King of Klein King & King in studio with us this morning, and Kevin is really good about coming up with topical titles and things that make a whole lot of sense. We're going to talk toy safety this morning.
And right? Good morning, John, and good morning to our listeners. It is that time of year, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
Where parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and whatever go out and buy gifts for the kids. And so one of the things I always like to bring to our listeners' attention is that the issue of toy safety. Mm-hmm. And just to give you a little bit of what are the risk of injury to kids, in 2017, there were 251,000 toy-related injuries reported to U.S. hospitals and emergency room departments. So we have about 250,000 injuries reported each year. Now, those are just the ones that are reported.
Okay.
You know, those are the ones. There, of course, are substantial additional ones that are not reported. So how does that break down? About 184,000, which is 73% of those injuries, are kids 15 and under.
Okay.
174,000, which is about 69%, kids are 12 and under. And 90,000, 36%, are kids 5 and younger. So it is an issue. And so as we think about what kind of gifts that we want to buy for our loved child, mm-hmm. children, and nieces and nephews, where do we turn to?
Okay.
Because parents are busy these days and trying to run the house and make sure things are doing okay, plus work. So you think that I'm going to burden you with additional issues about toy safety. Actually, I'm going to give you some good ideas on where to look to try to help you out.
Okay.
First thing I'd like to point out to our listeners is that every year there's an annual survey put out by the Public Interest Research Group. It's PIRG, and this is their 33rd annual safety report on toy safety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this report will be on our web blog. We have a consumer safety awareness blog, and I'll make sure that that's on there so people can very quickly get to that.
Okay.
And it'll probably be up probably by Monday for sure. And it's a very good source for folks to look through. And it's not that difficult to look through and read. So I would highly recommend that people, before they go online or before they go out to shop, take a look at this, because it has some very interesting areas. So today I'm just going to mention some of the high points that in that report, and also I'm going to talk about some additional areas
okay.
I think our listeners should be made aware right. of. First, John, are you aware of something called slime toys?
Not specifically, no.
John hesitates.
No.
Well,
no.
Have you ever seen kids playing with the stuff that's slimy? And they're,
oh, yeah,
and
sure.
they're saying, oh, look at this. This is slimy and
yeah.
how yucky it looks. And then they come up and laugh, and then they put it on their friends and that kind of stuff. Those
yeah.
are called slime toys.
Okay.
Well, an issue with the slime toys is a compound of boron. Now, do you know what boron is, John?
Used to be a brand for Ohio Gas years ago. But
in Mansfield, Ohio.
Yes.
Well, that's John's human life experiences, but this is actually a chemical compound that's used in manufacturing, and most of the time it's used in cleaning. And so this chemical additive of boron is used in slime toys. Now you say, well, what's the deal, Kevin? Well, for example, you only want to have a certain amount of boron in any type of a product, but the EU limits only 300 parts per million for these slime toys. You say, well, what's a reference of that?
Okay.
Well, a reference of that is that anything less than 300 parts per million is, I guess you could say, somewhat acceptable. But some of the slime toys that are now on the shelves or you can buy online have 4,700 parts per million.
Okay.
So we're a little high, about 12 times the EU standard. And so what is the effect of this boron if kids ingest it? Well, they get nausea, vomiting, and also additional physical problems. So what should consumers do?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, and I say this, there's no labeling about how much boron is in the slime toys. And there's no warnings required. So I would suggest that you stay away from the slime toys. In the report that I mentioned to you, that will be on our consumer awareness safety blog, There will be pages that refer to certain slime products that certainly people should stay away from. Mm-hmm. You can find those in the local stores and definitely online. So the slime toys as a stocking stuffer, stay away from it. I would not recommend that for kids either Christmas time or additional times as well.
Gotcha. Talking with Attorney Kevin King this morning about toy safety. All right, we've been slimed. So
we've been slimed. Well, the next one, and John, is that you know, I know that you keep up with all your kids and their kids' lives and everything.
Sure.
Are you aware of the of toys that connect to the internet? Children's toys. A little bit of a hesitation there.
Yeah, maybe I do, but maybe I don't. Nothing jumps
sure.
to the top here for me.
Well, over the last few years, John, there have been an explosion, in a considerable amount of toys offered that are interactive with kids.
Oh, okay, sure.
Little robotic toys.
All right.
And so a lot of these toys connect to the internet. They connect to Bluetooth, so the child can wear a Bluetooth and talk to the robot across the room. And then the robot then will respond back to it. Some of these toys, though, actually will, when connecting to the internet, then feed off to third parties. So when your kid is talking to the robot or to the toy, there could be an opportunity, not always, but could be an opportunity that the toy is actually offloading information about the kid's voice, to what the kid's asking, so on. So it's a significant issue.
Interesting.
And so, again, I don't think most parents probably are aware of this, but there are at least two toys that have been recognized by this report by the Public Interest Research Group. The first one is called Dash. It's a robotic toy, and it connects through a Bluetooth, and when the kids engage the toy, but the toy can convey information to third parties. Another one that was recognized in the report was the Amazon Fire HD Kids Edition. Now, are you familiar with Amazon Fire, those little tablet things, John?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Do you have one by chance?
No, do not, but I am aware of them.
Do you know kids that do have one?
Not in the immediate family, let's put it that way. Yeah.
Well, the report recognizes those that can share kids' information with third persons for advertising purposes.
Wow.
So these kind of toys I bring to the attention that caught my eye of things that definitely our listeners should be made aware of. So, again, that report will be online for persons to read. And actually, there are some other references. I'm sure a lot of parents will probably be interested in the internet connectivity toys. And there are some other foundations that persons can go to that will be mentioned in that report as well.
Okay. Attorney Kevin King, toy safety, our topic this morning here on People's Law Talk.
John, going from internet connected toys, we're going to go back in time, or as we would say, back to the future, probably to things that you and I can probably recognize. Did you ever have a scooter when you were younger, John?
No, I never did, to be honest with you, but we've had youngsters and, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, then let me ask the next question. Do you have any friends in your neighborhood that had scooters?
Oh, yeah. There were scooters all around the neighborhood.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they were like on cartoons, like Our Gang. Didn't somebody have a scooter in that?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Are you familiar now, John, with the thing called e-scooters, electronic scooters, electrical scooters?
No, but fill me in.
Sure. Now, this is an area that I know some parents probably will want to buy for their kids. It's a scooter like John is probably... I used to use at times back in Mansfield, Ohio, with his friends, John and the gang, instead of Spanky and the gang. But these are electronic. Now, a lot of adults ride these, but also I've seen kids ride these, and they are basically electric motor on the scooter, and you get onto the scooter, and then you balance yourself, and you go down the road. And everybody thinks, wow, this sounds like a great idea. Well, it might be a good idea from a marketing perspective, but there's a real issue on the horizon about the safety associated with e-scooters. And what is the issue? Well, first of all, they go about up to 10, maybe 15 miles per hour.
Whoa.
They have smaller wheels. I don't think John, probably back in Mansfield, Ohio, was, unless it was a downhill situation, was going probably 10 or 15 miles an hour in his scooter.
I doubt it.
And they are... less stable because of the smaller wheels. The wheels are hard, so they react differently to surfaces. than, say, like a bicycle wheel would. They quickly accelerate, and braking's an issue. Braking means, you know, how do you stop and slow it down? A considerable amount of collisions and injuries have occurred across the country, mostly in larger metropolitan areas, college campuses, because that's where the scooters are being marketed to. Incredibly, John, there's no design criteria for these electric scooters. There's no ordinances or regulations regarding them. So a lot of times people, when they're done with the scooter, there's no place to park them. A lot of people trip over them. And so some of the injuries that are coming out from electric scooters, we're seeing head injuries, considerable head injuries, because people don't wear helmets. And you say, well, you know, why don't the people wear helmets? We'll get to that in just a moment. Wrist injuries, breaking of wrist. And so getting back to the idea of, well, why don't we just blame the riders? This is really a human factors issue relative to design of the electric scooters. What's my recommendation? These things are so, I should say, new, and I think considerably injurious to people. Please stay away from them, especially for kids.
Okay.
Don't let your kids get to the electric scooters.
Okay. I can still put a playing card in the spoke of my bike tires, can I?
Well, yeah, that's true. That okay? Of course, you need the clips. You want them on the back end with the cards.
Gotcha.
Because if you have them in the front end, they might distract you because you'll be looking at the cards. So I always put my cards with the clothespins on the back.
On the back tire.
You're good to go on that one. That would be a good one. Another one I'd want our consumers to be made aware of is hoverboards.
Oh, and, yes, okay.
We have briefly touched on this, but John, I saw some hoverboards at the Christmas lights thing on Saturday night in downtown Columbus. And I was watching, and actually they were kids, and I was thinking, you know, did the parents truly understand the hazards and risk associated with that? So we're going to go back and visit that. Since 2015, there have been 2.5 million hoverboards sold. They can travel up to about 10 miles per hour. And a lot of the kids who are riding the hoverboards are between the ages of 12 and 15. And that takes us back to what is our injury rate, 250,000 of injuries. And that's those two age groups are the largest age groups where people are injured. We have head injuries and with fractures. And these things are not good, besides the fact that because of the battery that's used in the hoverboards, they can catch on fire. So it's not uncommon for these things to start a fire within the house.
Okay.
Please stay away from hoverboards. Please stay away from electric scooters. No matter how much your kid begs Santa Claus to deliver it, away from it.
Okay.
So, last area of toy safety, John, for our program, deals with parental safety.
Ah.
And I say that from the standpoint of there are probably certain toys that parents don't want to buy for the parents' own protection. Now, John, historically, you've probably encountered some of those, being a parent and a grandparent.
Okay.
Can you recall some toys that you decided not to buy because they might be injurious just from an annoyance perspective to a parent well beyond the opening of the gift?
Oh, yeah. I told you before we went on the air, the old corn popper thing the kids would push, and they were obnoxiously obtrusive.
And so, John, did you hand these gifts around as a little bit of retribution when they
gave one to you?
You turned around and gave one back to the other parent?
Yes, sir.
That's right, the corn popper retribution. Yep. Well, there are some that are on my list that I've recognized over the years that are not good things. Again, is a drum set.
Okay.
Drum set makes a lot of noise, doesn't it, John?
Oh, it does, yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have any type of uniformity in the way the drums are being played by the kid, right?
Yeah, especially the untrained or unfocused.
The untrained, unfocused cymbals and drums, constant banging. So this is for kind of a little lighthearted parental safety. Another one would be a trumpet. If you had just like a toy trumpet, that would be something I would not recommend for parental safety from a standpoint of so they wouldn't be annoyed. What do you think?
Yeah, probably right about that one, too.
Okay. Another one on my list I would think would be like a children's karaoke set sing-along.
Yeah, I'll do that.
With the microphone and the amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that I wouldn't recommend. Yeah. Last one I think I would hit my list today would be the Lego set. That Lego's going to cross the floors, and if you step on them as a parent, you're like, darn that hurt, you might not say darn.
You know, you can have kids playing with those all over the house, and you can have 50 people come in shoulder to shoulder and scan the floor for them, and you won't find them all until you come out in the room later barefoot. And there they are, right?
That's exactly
right. I'm telling
right.
you. Okay.
That's exactly right. So those are some of my lists for the parental safety to avoid annoying situations after the opening of presents.
And you said, too, that you'll have this listing on the Klein King & King website about
about
toy
the,
safety and stuff?
Yeah, I will, but I won't have the annoying parental safety stuff
probably
on there.
Not,
but we're talking about the PIRG and some other sites for consumers, for our listeners to go to, correct?
Right.
I will have that uploaded.
Very good. Good stuff from Klein King & King on People's Law Talk. Attorney Kevin King, thanks for your information. Always good stuff.
Happy holidays, John.